we go. State Roofing Texas on the State Roofing text line at 98973, 98973. Or the other door, always open to you. MyNorthwest.com, great ways to get to us. Someone gets a chance to be letter of the day. The wooden wagon making its way in now. Conor McGregor said right after he won, beat the Cowboy, he said he's going to take a day off, celebrate, have some whiskey, his whiskey, which I could barely understand what the name of the whiskey was. Kept saying it over and over again. And then the next day, he's going to be back in the gym.
That's right. You could have another, Bowden's as soon as March
gets there. Back in. But crazy. Right now, he is taking some time to drive the teeny tiny lady around in the wooden wagon and bringing her in here so that she can choose the letter of the day.
Perfect.
And if we get it, as it draws closer time and the wagon gets louder, we can actually.
So loud, I can barely hear it.
Let's listen in now.
Did you ever move into a new neighborhood?
My family, my bloodline, the McGregor clan, we stood and we fought. We fought the English Empire. So much so that our name was banished for 100 years by King James at the time.
Okay.
She gets bored fast.
Good question, though.
Yeah, it's a great question.
It's a slow wagon. You got a lot to talk about. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Conor McGregor. Banished for 100 years. By the way, Nick from Orcas, if you don't get to your letter, very funny. Hilarious. Made all of us laugh out loud.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. I hope we have time for it. I'm just a little foreshadowing. Seattle area voters get a chance to vote by smartphone. We will be the first in the country to be able to do this. A computer science professor, University of South Carolina, tells NPR he's worried about the security, but we should expect to see more of this.
Until we have a total collapse of some election, I think this sort of thing is going to continue because people want to believe that, you know, they can do everything on their phone.
So this is, we're voting for, what is it, Con?
I didn't even realize that. I love voting, right? Every chance I get.
Yes.
I never even heard of it. A King County Conservation District. That includes Seattle and 38 other cities within the confines of King County. Mm-hmm. We get to vote on our conservation district elections.
You mean the right people now, that are running? We get to vote on what area? Do you like this square footage? What are we voting on? Who's running? Log on, everybody.
Idea. You know, a lot of board members.
Oh,
I have no idea.
God.
Apparently, in the last election, only 1%. You know, we talk about, bad turnout. You know, only 42% turned out or something.
Yeah.
This sounds like something like a 1% turnout. I don't even know what it is. And I love politics.
You know what's great about this? Let's try it out. Well, let's try it out in an election that means nothing.
That's right. It's a Board of Supervisors election, and you can start voting from today through Election Day on February 11th.
We're all going to do this.
Yeah, we need to do this. Okay. We can do it on the air. Great radio.
In order to do it, you need to go online. You put your name and your birth date, right? And then you have to sign something. I guess a little signing thing. And just to verify who you are, then you submit it. Your text then goes to Saudi Arabia. They look at it.
They kill whichever journalist publishes it. And then you're free to count the votes. To me, the funniest thing about this is that once they receive your vote, they then print it out as a printed ballot so they can count
it.
They got to
have a hard copy.
I know, but I just think it feels sort of like, hey, we're so advanced, and then we end up just making a copy, and they said, you can do that to yourself. You can print it out on your own smartphone, print it out, and then mail it in if you want to, or drop it off. At
we have a wooden wagon that brings a woman
that's
in.
That's true.
Lives in
we are the
jar.
Least people to talk.
So we're going to do this.
Okay, I think that's good.
Who do you like in this?
I don't know. I like candidate number two.
You know, it's so funny when you don't know the person, you have no idea, like on judges.
Yeah, you go for the names.
Yeah, it's called down ballot fatigue where you take care of the first few and then all of a sudden you flip it over. You're like, oh my God, there's seven more?
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
I'm hoping...
And then you just end up liking the person's name. I always vote for the Irish guy. I hate that.
I'm hoping
that
this is like most judges' candidacies. They're running unopposed, so it makes it easier to decide.
All right, well, we'll be doing it, and you can do it as well. It doesn't seem to be that big of a deal to be able to have this happen. And then they print it out, and then they count it.
But the question is this the wave of the future, which most people say it is
yes.
for that very reason that guy said, because we want the convenience of being able to do it, you know, from our kitchen table or whatever.
Does it cheapen democracy, though?
Yeah, see, that's
should be some effort.
I have no problem. No, I don't think it. That's not what cheapens democracy. If it opens us to more hackability, then I think we're in trouble, because then the democracy can be disturbed. And they say, well, no, but we will check your accounts. You know, with the printed ballot, they said, yeah, but they can, hackers can get in there and change your ballot. You don't even know they've changed it.
Uh-huh.
And then you've already, you know, given your electronic signature. And so there's no catch all. So a lot of cybersecurity people think this is a bad idea.
Yes.
Others that are pushing it, this Tusk Foundation that's pushing it, says, no, 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 that's just because their fear tactics. Once we get 40 or 50 or 60 elections under our belt, we'll realize, yeah, it's not that unsafe.
Yeah.
The convenience will trump the danger of our elections being hacked.
Well, people have been talking about that the voting, that the thing wasn't right, or the lines were too long, or they made the machines weren't correct, or when Dino Rossi won twice, physical. They amazingly found a bunch of ballots under somebody's desk. So
I
people
know, it's
have
a
often
good,
talked
lucky
about
thing.
That. Yes, so lucky. Good for you. Way to go. Way to keep him out. The fact that Jeff Bezos' phone has been hacked. The story goes that he was in divorce proceedings, and then within a couple of hours after he announced this, the National Enquirer then came up with this great big long investigation that they had done that he was having an affair with this woman, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they had pictures from his phone, and the questions was, he's been hacked.
Yes.
Who hacked him?
Yes.
And the initial accusation was Saudi Arabia, and now we have reasons to believe that Saudi Arabia definitely had something to do with it. Do we have sound?
Yes, we do. Okay, CBS. Perfect.
According to the Financial Times, the hack's roots trace back to Bezos and bin Salman exchanging phone numbers in Los Angeles. Weeks later, says Britain's The Guardian paper, Bezos and the Crown Prince were engaged in a seemingly friendly WhatsApp exchange when bin Salman sent an unsolicited malware-infected file. It's unclear what information was then taken.
It's all so beautiful.
Questions about who has access to the tech executive's phone were first raised last year after the National Enquirer leaked photos and intimate text messages between the then-married Bezos and former TV anchor Lauren Sanchez, with whom he was having an affair. The Enquirer said Sanchez's brother Michael was the original source of the information. But in a blog post a month after the scandal, Bezos, who also owns the Washington Post, suggested the photos leaked by the Enquirer were obtained illegally through its publisher's connection to the Saudi government.
MBS's role, personal role in potentially compromising Jeff Bezos, I think raises additional questions about MBS's defense of the Khashoggi murder, that it was simply rogue actors within his state.
MBS is the initials that they use for the prince.
Andrew Miller of the Washington-based think tank Project on Middle East Democracy believes the Washington Post's aggressive reporting on Jamal Khashoggi's murder put a target on Bezos's back.
That's the way things work in Saudi Arabia. That's the way things work in MBS's world. It was a clear attempt to blackmail Bezos into changing Washington Post coverage and relieving scrutiny on Mohammed bin Salman's reckless actions.
Yeah, so Prince Bonesaw was the one that did it, right?
The Khashoggi murders or the...
Well, we know he did the Khashoggi stuff, that he was the one that said, go get Khashoggi. And then I guess he figured to go get Bezos, we'll get this stuff, we'll pull things out of his phone.
Yeah, because they did exchange. They go, this is how high level they are. Bezos and MBS exchanged phone numbers. I mean, they're real phone numbers.
Yes.
And once that happened, then MBS sent a video, which they say was full of malware, to Bezos. And within like 2 days... all this stuff started coming out.
Did Prince Bonesaw, did he intentionally get the phone number for malicious reasons? Say, hey, you want to Snapchat each other or something? Yeah, sure. What? And then did he do that knowing that I need to get that in order to plant this thing in there?
The fact that it happened so quickly after that makes me suspicious, although I don't know why you'd have any suspicions of Mohammed bin Salman. I mean, it's just like Salman. I mean, it's what kind of ulterior motives? I now understand your Trump crack too.
Mm-hmm.
If this is indeed he's buddy buddy with MBS, he also doesn't like the Washington Post, and because of that, the Jeff Bezos connection, there might be some. But this, unlike that, which is just sheer speculation, this, according to a forensic analysis, seems pretty clear that this is what happened. Now, one could always argue, as MBS always does, I didn't know.
Yes.
Somebody must have done that on my account, but I didn't know.
Well, this is also going to call into consideration Jeff Bezos' vote coming up there in King County because he's using a phone.
That's right, dude. I wonder if we could lobby. We need to pick our favorite candidate for the Board of Supervisors of the King County Conservation District and see if we can get Jeff to back
him,
too.
I'm going to do an ad for one of those guys.
Yeah, that would be good.
All right.
You could have counter ads.
Yeah, okay, good.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
After the show, I'm going to put one together.
Let's find one up.
No. Let's see. Terry Jones was one of the troupe from Monty Python and the Flying Circus, who my mother thought was a dirty show, so my brother and I had to secretly watch it.
Which made it all the funnier, I bet, because of that.
Now, you listen here. He's not the bazaar. He's a very naughty boy. Now, go away.
He was the little guy. Was he the littlest of them all? I'm guessing he did the lady when...
Yeah, I don't know if he's little. He's kind of... kind of a chunky kind of a guy.
Spam, but... spam, spam, spam,
yes.
More of spam.
Morning.
Morning.
But wasn't it weird that kids in high school would commit like these entire things to memory?
I don't know that it was that
alone?
Weird. You know?
No.
Yes.
It was weird.
It was weird?
Yes.
So I then have a confession to make. My brothers, I have four brothers. We sleep out on the deck up at Whidbey Island in a ramshackle cabin. I think that between all five of us, we could recite the entire movie of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And we cracked ourselves up.
What you got then?
Well, there's egg and bacon, egg, sausage and bacon, egg and spam, egg, bacon and spam, egg, bacon, sausage and spam, spam, bacon, sausage and spam, spam, egg, spam, spam, bacon and spam, 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 egg and spam, 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 baked beans, spam, 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 and spam. Oh, lobster thermidor, crevettes with mayonnaise sauce, garnished with truffle pate brandy, and a pie egg on top, and spam. Everyone, anything without spam in it? Well, spam, egg, sausage, and spam. It's not got much spam in it. I don't want any spam.
Why can't you have egg, bacon, spam, and sausage?
That's got spam in it.
Not as much as spam, egg, sausage, and spam.
Look, could I have egg, bacon, spam, and sausage without the spam?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I don't like spam.
There you go. Did you guys do that one?
No.
But this one you
did. That's not in Monty
Python. It'd be a long, miserable night out there in the ramshackled cabin.
We have found the witch. May we burn her?
Burn
her! I can stop it every once in a while. You can do the next one.
Yeah, brothers were better at it than I.
Oh, now you're backing away.
It's only a flesh wound.
Yeah, only backing away.
How do you know she is a witch?
She looks like one.
Bring her forward.
Not a witch, I'm not a witch.
But you are dressed as one.
They dressed me up like this. And this isn't my nose, it's a false one.
Well, we did do the nose.
Next line.
That's Eric Idle.
The nose?
Burner.
And the hat. But she's a witch.
That's still my favorite. That's the funniest movie of all time, in my humble opinion.
All right, I am going to watch that with Rye. Will it hold up?
That's a good question. I haven't seen it for about a decade, but I saw it like 100 times before that, it feels like.
I saw it as a child,
yeah,
and I thought it was very weird, and I did not understand. I don't know if Rye, I think the context might be too far removed at this point.
Huh.
You have to go into it understanding how strange it is and how it's not going to, I mean, it's not a conventional comedy by any means, or at least by what we think of now.
I think it's hilarious. I think Rye will like it.
There are certain movies that I don't want to go back and visit. I'd rather have the memory of the movie.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Right? Stay as it is rather than going back and then watching it going, oh, God, funny.
You know, especially with comedy, because comedy really kind of advances.
It
doesn't mean it's getting funnier. And so certain things become obvious tropes that are repeated too often. But at the time, it felt groundbreaking. They were described as the Beatles of comedy. And that's how those of us of a certain generation feel about Monty Python.
He dies at the age of 77. And what did some of his contemporaries say?
Well, my favorite one among all of them, John Cleese. So there were six original members. Two have now died. And so the last thing John Cleese says, in addition to all these heartfelt things, is two down, four to go.
And then somebody said, you're supposed to play that song, Bright Side of Life?
Yeah, that's right. that we can't get two down because, after all, got to look at the Bright Side of Life, which is one of their classics.
I said to my brother the other day, has comedy changed so much so that the stuff we used to laugh at, no one would laugh at it. So let's test this out on these two millennials, right?
Here we go.
Here we go. You ready? This was hilarious.
Hey, Johnson.
Oh, you reckon it has to call me Johnson?
My name is Raymond J. Johnson, Jr. Now, you can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay, or you can call me Johnny, or you can call me Sonny, or you can call me Junie, or you can call me Ray J, or you can call me RJ, or you can call me RJJ.
Feel free to laugh at any time.
Or you can call me RJJ Jr., but you doesn't have to call me Johnson.
My brother said, I'm humiliated and embarrassed.
That I like that.
Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember it. But I don't think that that was hilarious, but that became, it doesn't have to call me Johnson, became just a throwaway line that everybody tend to use, so it's the punchline that justified the,
is that what it was?
The laughter, I think.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing. You laughed at that.
The whole thing.
Seriously.
No, but go back. Yeah, Holy Grail.
Okay, let me, over the weekend, here's your assignment. Watch It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and okay. See if you laugh at any of that sort of stuff.
Okay. Okay. Do you have any idea where I could find such a film?
Well, it came out in like 1959.
First of all, it's a movie, not a film.
Yeah.
No one's gotten anything written down. Yeah. You don't have to worry about that.
They remade it like 40 years later as Big Race.
Yeah, you don't want that one.
Yeah.
You want Mad, Mad, Mad World.
It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World.
With Jonathan Winters.
Okay.
Okay, good. There's your assignment for the weekend. Okay, finally, Tom, the fact that Uber is testing a feature that will let some California drivers set fares. Uber is responding to AB, what is it? What's an AB 10 or AB 5 with this law that's passed? It's basically
Assembly
says
Bill 5.
They are your employees, so now you need to start treating them like employees. So they're like, no, look at this. They've got control over prices. They can pick out who they want to pick up. They're just further distancing themselves from the driver.
In their effort to establish that they are indeed not, independent contractors and not their employees, they've now given a very small select group of drivers as a test to say, you know what? We're going to let you set the price. Uber always sets the price. They have no choice. They have to pick people up at whatever price Uber software tells them. Now they're going to allow them to set the price. And you can raise it up to, it's like, is it five times what the average is? And you can lower it to something like five times below if you want to. And what that does is it sets up an auction. I thought you might like, this might appeal to you.
Chinese auction.
If you're, is that right?
What? Yeah, the price going down, not up.
Okay. So in this, if I say, okay, I want to.
I'll pick you up for $10. Another driver comes in. I'll pick you up for $8. Another driver goes, I'll take you there for $7.
Six. That's right. Yeah. And then the person that at some point, I don't know if it's like after 2 minutes or something, they said, okay, you're the lucky winner. You got the cheapest route. And that way Uber can say, see, they're independent contractors. We don't tell them what to charge, which they always have told them. And so it's a smart move to try to get out from under the definition of whether they're employees or not. Whether this is going to work, the article says some drivers are saying, oh my God, what a pain in the neck this is going to be, because now we're in competition with each other. And it's like every pickup now has to be an auction, and you don't know who else is involved. And it seems like a big complex hassle to them. But
if you make more money?
If they get if you make more money, the question is, if you've got 17 people all competing for the same 14 drivers, they're going to make less money than they might have if they accepted the Uber formula.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what do we hear?
When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps.
Right
just
back.
Purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on. Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd.
Everybody writing in on the witches skit there, Tom. They would have gone right at home. Let's see. The do I have anything at this point? Wow. You know, it's like a store where you come into work and there's like three people in the store.
Uh-huh.
And then you notice that like there's no cash. There's no one coming in the store. And the three of you are looking at like, things are not good.
But things are great.
I used to work at this place called William H. Fredericks.
Yeah?
And they sold all sorts of stuff, like wine glasses and porch furniture. It was a whole mishmash of things. And I remember standing there, listening. I said, hey, Donna, can you check the cash register? Just can you Z out just temporarily? You turn the thing to Z and you hit it to subtotal. And then it would... And they'd tell you how much money you've made by... I'm just thinking to myself,
$3.14.
How the hell is this person staying distance? So whenever I see Andrew, do I have anything at this point? Mm-hmm. And he says, no. I immediately think of zing, temporarily zing out. Why would someone not want to sponsor this?
That's right. Hear, hear.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, lawmakers are proposing a 32-hour work week. With the lack of sponsors we have, we'll have an even less of a work week. Yeah, but here comes, right. Your state senator explaining why it worked for all of us.
We've seen, you know, certain companies experiment, and even certain states in the United States, experiment with a reduced work week, and they've actually seen increased productivity. So you're able to create better lives for workers. Companies are still going to be very profitable, and everybody has a quality of life that they can enjoy and benefit from versus kind of the system that we have today.
This is Parkinson's law in effect, that the amount of work fits the amount of time you have to do it in.
Yeah.
I give you 48 hours to do this. It'll take you 48 hours to do it.
Yeah.
Shorten it up, tighten it up, bang. Production levels go up. People have more free time.
It seems like a little pie in the sky because it does make some sense if you have happier employees and the on the limited scale they've looked at it, they have, like in Microsoft Japan, they something like 40% more productivity when you only work 4 days a week as opposed to 5 days a week. I would just think it would be hard. Once you've established what you can produce in 4 days, how couldn't somebody say, okay, we're going to work everybody a 34-hour week. We're going to get a two-hour jump on the next business. And then it becomes competitive all over again. I feel like this seems a bit much. I don't mind him raising the issue because I think we all have this work-life balance that we're trying to establish societally. Uh-huh. But at this point, I just think that to mandate that you have to, isn't that what the law would do? That you get overtime any hour after 32?
Oh my
God. I think that's what the suggestion is. Do we have more sound?
Would it looks he like Jacob. Actually, how would he go through this legally?
So we already have language in Washington State regarding what counts as a work week. So I literally took that and copied and pasted for this, reduced the work week hours to 32. So that's kind of one of the points that I want to make here is that we need to have this conversation. Automation is already taking away jobs from regular working families every single day. And candidly, corporations are making huge, huge profits. Productivity is up. Economic output is up. Yet wages have not gone at the same rate. They've been stagnant. So in lieu of the wages, which they should be paying them, we can also think through other things where, you know, you can have more time back.
That guy needs to get some new information. But the idea that the economy is moving forward and because of advancements in technology, you are reducing the amount of people needed.
Of labor needed, yeah.
I mean, our manufacturing is the highest it has ever been. Unfortunately, you're using a third of the number of people in order to manufacture.
Yeah.
We are out manufacturing any other country. So machines take over and people transition into some other job. By the way, he's wrong on wages. But that aside, 35-hour work week is going on in France, Tom.
A what?
35-hour work 35, week is in France.
Yes. That's been that for a long time.
Yes.
And they're trying to get it down to like 32, I think, itself.
And what happens in France is you say, oh, yeah, I'm working 35 hours. But what they don't say is I have another job in which I work another 8 hours. So they try to get around it as much as they can to make as much money as they possibly can. So they've got a black market of labor that exists in France. I've got a friend who lives there, been there for now for about 8 years.
Yeah.
Living a la-di-da life, I'll tell you. And his wife has two jobs, and you're not allowed to have two jobs, so she's able to sort of somehow be able to keep the other one.
Are they like under the table jobs? Or are they like in the home, working in the home?
Yeah, no, not in the home. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So would you be comfortable with a 32-hour work week?
Hell yes.
Imagine coming into work at like noon and then leaving at 6, something like that?
Well, the problem with our the talk show, yes, that sounds great. The talk show setup is a little weird because we have a lot of off hours that we are needing to keep track of things.
Uh-huh.
Like I was last night, supposedly off hours, I was watching the impeachment hearings. It's like so to judge us. In fact, it's my mother says you work 3 hours a day.
Like
it's not quite. It's not. I'm on the air for 3 hours, but there's a lot of prep time and post prep time as well. But still. Yeah,
32-hour work week, I guess the problem gets into if somebody wants to go to the store and the store is closed, right? The 24-hour Home Depot. So the one guy's working 32 hours. You're going to hire somebody else in order to cover half in?
Even Joe Wynn, who's promoting this, says that there are certain sectors that this would not be as workable on and certain individuals wouldn't be as workable with.
Got it. Okay. Let's see. Will the office be obsolete by 2030? Knowledge workers think so. What? How do we define a knowledge worker?
As someone who does most of their work on computer.
Okay.
I mean, that's just a handy way to do it. They call them professionals, but if you work in an office, most people who work in an office are probably knowledge workers. And the suggestion here is that working remotely is what most people want to do. Fully two-thirds of us, if we could do our job from home, mm-hmm. we would rather do it. And the number one reason for that, they claim, is it saves money.
Uh-huh.
And they feel like they're more productive at home.
Yes.
And so because of that they think is the wave of the future. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. I see that as the guess is two-thirds of people think that by 2030, is it, or 2050, that we will the office will be kind of like
no one's
like the
there.
Buggy,
yes,
you know, or something.
A crazy story I heard from a friend of mine that in India you can't fire somebody right away. You have to maintain them if they're a certain type of worker for 2 months before you can let them go.
Okay.
So here's the story that I heard. This guy applies for a job, and they're doing it via a camera,
Skype, right? Okay.
Yeah, Skype kind of thing. Yeah. His camera is out. They send him, say, please program this or solve this problem. The guy solves the problem. They say, we're going to offer you the job. The guy says, great. He comes in to first day of work, and mm-hmm. they give him an assignment, and he doesn't know what he's doing. They said, have you forgotten? Because this is very similar to the thing we tested you on when we interviewed you. They then quickly realize the guy is not the same guy that got the job.
What?
And they can't get rid of him for 2 months.
I can't believe it. If they can prove.
I looked it up. I'm trying to find out.
Yeah.
In India, is it against the law to fire somebody before they're on the job for 2 months?
How could it not be? If you've been, to me, that seems like fraud, misrepresentation, but it's a heck of a racket if it's legal. I'm talking about loopholes.
You are not going to get paid a salary, but you do get a chance to be part of the show. And that ought to be enough for you. When we read your letter on the air, you're going to get a warm, tingly feeling. It's going to run up and down your body. There may be a little swelling. I apply ice to that, or a good talc will probably take care of the rash that normally accompanies having your letter read on the air.
It's not that bad, everybody.
No, it goes away. We're right back. Mailman, come on in here, mailman. What do you got, mailman? Come on.
I love my body, and I get a lot of pleasure out of my body. What the hell is that doing there?
I don't know. I mean, I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, right. I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door. Mr. President.
I also love the world.
He does love the world. We're going to get to the letter of the day, but first let's get to all the rest, Tom. Here we go.
Start off with impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
Still going on, 253. Here's a direct quote from Schiff. The truth will come out. The question is, will it come out in time? In time for what, Shifty? Please clarify.
Down in the 206.
Or the trial.
How can all the senators running against Trump for president have any vote on his impeachment? Shouldn't they recuse themselves since they are trying to eliminate their only competition?
And Ryan from Redmond, I don't understand why they want Michael Bolton to testify. Mm. Clinton plays the saxophone, not Trump.
Yes.
LOL.
Yes, it's a good one. They can have milk, says 206.
That's true, in addition to the candy.
Milk and candy.
425, I never wanted to be a senator until I found out they have a candy desk. Where do I sign up?
And drawn on abs, Larry in accounting, unfortunately, says Baywatch with Dane Pamela Anderson, best show ever. Sorry, Jacob. There were zero robots involved, although Hasselhoff at times.
Bucky's Periodicals, 206. Muffler and exhaust are two different things. A muffler is a part of the exhaust system, John.
I don't know how to take that one. Let's see. Terry Jones, 206. Bring out your dead.
Bring out your dead!
Mm-hmm.
These are all, I fart in your general direction. And then you slap your helmet. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelled of elderberries.
Tom's getting the biggest kick out of all of these. 425, the funniest part of Monty Python when you're a kid. And put yourself through the torture of watching the show that wasn't funny just to see a boob here and there since Channel 9 didn't censor it. Oh, that's what my mom was upset about. Right.
And 425, depends on Rye's sense of humor. Mm-hmm. My 10-year-old loves the Holy Grail.
Okay, and 360 Monty Python. And the Holy Grail is still funny. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Not as funny today. The Gumball Rally with Michael Sarrazin.
Sarrazin.
is a fun 70s movie.
650, Mad World is in the periodical section next to the Ten Commandments and other archaic relics.
I'm sorry. Grandparenting, 253. John and Rachel need to get a womb.
And Dell and Denton. Oh, my God. I'm blushing after that exchange with Miss Bell.
It wasn't that bad. Now that I...
Curly. It was worse.
Tom, but it wasn't intentional.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's cleared. You're like Trump.
253. Curly, you might want to just head straight to Carol's office. That she's in human resources.
HR.
I think it's safe to say you're going to want to see her. Good luck, buddy.
And Wes and Puyallup. Tom, time's not on your side. You better start having some grandkids. Can you believe we have a 4- and 5-year-old grand boys? Great show today. Wow, Wes, that's amazing.
What did
he's definitely younger than I am.
What did Nick and Orca say? Do you remember his line?
Oh, yeah. It's coming up.
Is that the line of the day? Okay, good. Phone voting continue. 253. Tom Tagney says, I love to vote. Woohoo! But I hate grandchildren.
Not true. I just am in no hurry to have them. On the ebook revolution, 206 says, I think a bigger effect has been from the audiobook from Audible. I can't get enough of those.
And 253 says, we are young, old school people. I'm 42, my wife 35, and we have bookshelves chock full of books everywhere in our house, not to mention countless boxes of books in our shed.
Sounds like my house. And 206, Jacob, I love books.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about women and humor. 253 says, quote, I'm going to assume it's a guy who said that. Close quote. Really, Senator Warren? Isn't that sexist? Didn't you just accuse Bernie of making a sexist comment?
There you go. That's why it doesn't work. 253. In this day and age of bashing white men, women can say just about anything against men, and it's fine. And I'm a woman.
425. Bogus advice. Where would Rachel Bell be without a sense of humor?
And 253. I'm not sure if humor always works. A joke to some people is offensive to others. Tom is right. It's better to be careful with your humor. Some people can't take a joke.
Too bad for them. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Conor McGregor. His whiskey is called Proper 12. Proper 12. Okay,
we'll have to check that out. On the 32-hour work week, 253 says, so, lawmakers want us to take a 52-day per year cut in pay? That'd be a serious cut in pay.
And 425, I'd be willing to work only 32 hours a week as long as I get paid for 40.
Yeah, I think that was sort of the idea. 425, what? A 32-hour work week? I would have to get a second job because I can't afford to pay my bills on 32 hours a week.
But that's the legislator coming in and telling you what's best with your time. Let's see, Kip in...
More family time.
You could make the choice, or they'll make it for you. Won't work in retail and restaurants. Yeah. Will work in industries which measure product basis.
Project basis. Yeah, project basis. That's true. Show sponsors, 253. How much does it cost to support this segment or sponsor this segment? I don't know.
I don't know. Andrew, any ideas?
I don't work in the sales department.
All right, fine. I'm talking about the virus, 206. China is communist.
Yes, and 702.
The president of China, that.
Capitalism kills too, John.
Don't know about that one. 425. Thank God for Curly living in the real world, because Tom lives in a liberal la-la land. Yeah. You are a toilet human. Let's never forget that.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day,
from
Tom.
Nick from Orcas.
Ah.
Ugh. I'm also annoyed by Tom's non-existent grandkids.
Good. Nick, I want to let you know, we read that before the mailman got here. I don't know how.
That's right.
And we laughed out loud.
Telepathy.
Second time. Good job.
Out of time. Bye-bye.